You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And now we've got Joel here from Dale Kerrigan 2.
Kia ora,
how you doing, Joel?
Good, I'm doing great.
Nice. What was that track we just heard? It was a little bit of talking, a little bit of weird samples and stuff. What was that vibe?
Yeah, so throughout the record there's three tracks that kind of break it up into kind of little bits, and those were made entirely by Schley on GarageBand.
Cool.
Yeah, and I honestly hadn't heard them like in full and in the context of the record until the record came out and I listened to it all the way through.
Yeah.
And it was great to hear. Like, Schley definitely had some good foresight to campaign to put those in.
Yeah.
And so that the amps are for everyone is a snippet from an interview that Julie had with Tony Stamp from Radio National.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Talking about Trace and Trace and kind of our kind of ethos about making music as a collective.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's really, really cool. I like it at the end as well. Super cute. And I feel like those sort of having those kind of interlude things, especially when you're talking like about kind of heavy music or music that can be quite like tiring for your ears, it just always like pulls you out of the it makes it more a part of reality, you know? Like it pulls you out of the mindset of like, this is a song, this is a single, this is a song, this is a song, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And like gives you that little break that lets you be like, oh no, this is actually like a piece of experience that's related to people's lives and like
absolutely.
How and why they create music.
There's also like another like Easter egg there and kind of Julie, like there's Julie's kind of humming along to a song right before Mornington Park starts.
Cool.
And I think it was important for us to kind of include some of that stuff and kind of get out of, you know, making an album can be pretty monotonous sometimes, especially when you're trying to like do this whole like it's going to be slick, it's going to be, you know, it was important for us to make it feel like kind of like relatable.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I feel like that stands out a lot more, I hate to say in the modern era.
Yeah.
You know, like that, everyone knows that you're not just like a perfect product. Like everyone knows that you're a human and knows like, you know, too much about you.
Yeah.
Because of like, you know, the milliseconds on social media that they can repeat or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like one of the endearing nice things about like smaller scale music scenes and collective music and like being a part of a, like the Dunedin scene in particular is kind of like that, where people know each other, you go to Crown, you know.
That's it. It's
bands.
Like, it's real life. It's like, it's real life and community and friendships that like matter so much more than like what a lot of people get caught up in. And people get caught up in the rat race around releasing music, and I'm like definitely guilty of that.
Yeah, yeah, of course. All of us are.
But this album, I feel in particular, was kind of anti that.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys have always kind of sat on in that vibe as well, which is very, very cool to see kind of consistently coming out. From the North Island, I always just remember hearing kind of more and more about y'all whenever you come up and play some of the festivals and stuff, and hearing people really excited and like running to go see you guys play at what's that festival?
Camp or Great Sounds.
I was thinking
Great,
of Great Sounds.
Or,
no, I was thinking of what's that one that
Cuba Duper, Welcome to Nowhere.
Welcome to Nowhere. Maybe that was the first time I heard of y'all, and I was actually driving away because I was looking after someone who's not doing very well. But then I just heard Schley screaming from like the edge of the valley, like while my car was
sick.
Open. I was like, oh, cool! There's some band from the Nina screaming. Everyone was running towards that, but now I wish I was there. you guys have managed to like do a pretty good job at going up north, like every. I couldn't tell you how often, but enough to tease people with that sort of energy and excitement and that human element too that makes people kind of fetishize Dunedin music and stuff.
Yeah, well, we were just lucky enough to like get invited to tour kind of right off the bat, like as soon as we had started, as soon as we had enough songs to play a show, we kind of got invited to come along to the first iGUM Scenic Tour.
Yeah.
And, you know, that energy you have when you like just started out a new band. For me, it was the first time I'd ever played an out of town show,
kind of
thing. I just had like so much energy, and you know, same with Schley, and obviously like Josh and Connor were just so seasoned already. it kind of ended up being this kind of perfect storm.
Yeah.
And I love touring with these guys.
Yeah.
So fun.
That's a cool example of that sort of in the nicest way, that sort of competition of anxiety and experience where all the energy comes from, you know, anxiety or something, or adrenaline, whatever that is, and then like all of the kind of professionalism that can make a product get pulled off is from people having a good rhythm section, I guess is probably the best easiest way to say it.
Well,
you guys,
that was like that was so what the first AO record was.
Mm.
Was like at that time I really didn't know how to play guitar very well.
Yeah.
And Schley was just starting as well.
Yeah.
And we had like two very inspired but complete novices on guitar, and kind of in that record Schley was primarily the songwriter. Mm-hmm. But then a super experienced, super tight rhythm section.
Yeah,
which just like let us get away with all the stuff we could, you know.
Yeah. And we actually both had the pleasure of just going and seeing the Pavements documentary. Which kind of I don't know what you guys' relationship is with that. I know many, if not all of you, are pretty big fans of them. But I can see that sort of slacker edge to, especially to what you're describing there with the guitars, just kind of fucking around and not knowing what, mucking around and not knowing specifically like what you're doing, but that having it's like a band just literally still going no matter what's happening with the guitars is a really, really cool kind of aesthetic and fun way to just have the space to do whatever you want as a musician and screw up and make that like creative.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's like, what do you think about the Pavements, or more importantly Pavement, but did you like the doco as well?
The doco was funny, like,
yeah.
My God, it was pretty long, to be honest.
Yeah, I know.
We were like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours in, right, and it was like, my God, they have two more records to talk about.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I really enjoyed it, and it felt like the perfect way to frame Pavement.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt like they probably felt they were a bit stretched out more than they should have been, you know?
And yeah.
Especially with a reunion and whatever, 2010, and then a reunion 2022.
Yeah.
23 something. But anyway, like, yeah, I would say all of us are very big Pavement fans.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Schley and Connor.
Yeah, yeah.
And even more so, like, Silver Jews fans.
Yeah, yeah, heck yeah.
I think in, like, terms of, you know, a very, like, postmodern lyric writing, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But still, like, a really, like, you know, like, Dale has this thing where the songs are real, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But they still have, like, a real pop sensibility.
Yeah,
which I think is like one of those things that are taken from Pavement. Like, undoubtedly, Pavement doesn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
But they still write great tunes.
Yeah. It's funny that kind of you have to care a certain amount about not caring, and you kind of saw that really getting stretched out in the Pavement's doco. Like, he's putting in so much effort by the end to still like look away when everybody else is smiling and thanking each other. Stephen, come on, it's okay. Everyone in this room is applauding you, and your own bandmates are enjoying it. Like, you can't just look like that.
Yeah.
But then also at the same time, it's such a good example of that kind of aesthetic, that slacker aesthetic being like stretched in every way it can with like modern kind of financial incentives and stuff. And then like you said, it's kind of a really good way to showcase that band, and that in, I suppose at the time they would have been writing and it would have been very like postmodern, and now we've obviously like extended another 30 years beyond what was postmodern then, and we're still just kind of fluffing around in the like seriousness is always like meta analyzed, like we're talking about with your record where like everyone knows you personally anyway, so like or not you specifically, but like you as an artist, and knows that it's a recording made by some people in a room, so why not figure out how to pull people out of that to some extent but still enjoy the good bits of that. And I feel like maybe that does stand out with Dale a bit, is that there's a lot of screwing around, and I think like Schley in particular, I always notice whenever you guys are playing, we'll just get incredibly creative with making noise with like how they like make a pinging sound of pushing their string into the fretboard. They'll somehow just start writing a new song in the middle of the songs, doing that for a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Like, part of our philosophy sometimes, like, you know, some songs you really have to practice, right?
Yeah.
And you have to kind of you know, especially when you're like dealing with noise, like there's so many moving parts that you actually have to be really focused to pull it all in.
Yeah.
But some songs, that's like completely the opposite approach. Like mm-hmm. our self-titled song, Dale Kerrigan, like mm-hmm. forever, we just never practiced it.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of it, even if it had been ages, like
yeah.
part of the fun was getting to the gig and all having to look at each other real hard and remember yeah. exactly how that song goes.
Yeah.
And just being on the edge of it. And I think that that makes it fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you're too good at a song, it sucks.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that with the Pavements documentary. There's a couple of points where you could see them get grumpy about not being like locked in with each other. And it wasn't yeah. locked in terms of timing. It was locked in terms of vibe.
Yeah.
And that's obviously something that's incredibly difficult to cling on to for, in their case, for 30 years or whatever,
yeah.
but or longer than that. But how does that, I know it's a bit of an esoteric kind of conversational way to fit it in, because you can't really ever explain what those sort of flow states look like. Mm. But how does that feel for you guys as a way of, like, do you have to kind of figure out how to get in the space to lock in and know that you're going to be confident with each other's mucking around and stuff like that? Or is that what comes with practice, or is that what comes from just hanging out and knowing an aesthetic together?
I think, personally for me, I just, like, completely trust all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
I, like, don't doubt for a second that everyone is just, like, fully on the same wavelength. Like, mm-hmm. before playing a gig, we all go to woof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
important rituals.
Have a couple
of have
beers,
a whiff dog.
You know, like, and, you know, make sure we're having a good time. Talk mm-hmm. about everything, you know, like, all hang out as much as we can.
Yeah.
And then you're on the gig, and, like, you know, someone, like, makes a bung note as funny. Like, you just,
yeah.
like, look at them and you laugh.
Yeah.
And, like, that's all of it. It's just, like, trusting each mm-hmm. other. Every time something doesn't work...
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a problem. It just, like, makes it real funny.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, you can, like, laugh about, like, remember when I made that?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it should be. Yeah. But in saying that, like, some of those songs are super emotional.
Mm,
and,
yeah, totally.
And, you know when that moment is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Again, in
leave the space
terms of, like,
that
we
stuff.
All trust each other
yeah.
to jam and make noise. When those songs are in...
Mm-hmm.
I know Schley's trusting me to, like, respect
yeah,
the kind
yeah.
of source material of that song,
yeah,
and take it.
Yeah, cool.
Best I can, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, cool. No, really, really good points. And yeah, great korero. Maybe. So I think we both talked at the beginning about how we can both ramble about this forever.
Yes.
But maybe about the new album, which we did talk about already, so that's good. We haven't just ignored it. But we've had on the playlist, we've been listening to the singles, of course, really enjoyed Mornington Park and Hyde.
Yeah.
But are there any other tracks from it that you've been particularly into or stood out to you? Because we'll play one afterwards, but I'm just thinking about it. See
my,
what I want to talk about.
My favourite track on the record is Taylor Bird.
Cool.
That was a really fun song to make, and it took weeks and weeks and weeks, like, of I'm doing this really weird sound, which is probably boring for anyone who doesn't listen to music or make music,
mm-hmm.
To make. But anyway, when we play it later, I make this sound, and it was just a battle, like, trying to convince myself that no, this was actually going to end up smart when
it
was recorded. But I felt like an idiot doing it in practice, mm-hmm. and it ended up translating really, really well and suiting exactly the feel of what the rest of the band came up with. And Schley just wrote, like, my favorite guitar part on the record, which is the solo of that song.
Cool.
And then another one I'd like, Deer is really, really fun. We actually sampled a part of a live recording of Dunedin Sound video of us playing, because we, like, make a loop before we play that song every time. We tried to recreate it in the studio. By studio, I mean the lounge of Gloria's house.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just wasn't quite right, and so we just pulled up the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Like, remember, we played it awesome there. Like,
yeah.
Take, just rip it off that.
That's
and
great.
We did. And Deer's a really weird song again, where I think I play pretty much one note the whole song, but
yeah.
I got a pitch shift and I just bend it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember the one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, just fun parts like that. It was great to, great. I love playing weird guitar parts.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And so you've also got this tour of China, which has just been announced, organised by the lovely Kai Shandao, who's taken a few different really cool DIY bands over to China over the past few years. But maybe the first time an Otsibotsi one's gone over, or...?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, to best of my knowledge. Yeah.
Cool, though. Yeah, what's that been like? Are you obviously, I can imagine you're looking forward to it, but, like, how's it been?
Yeah, really looking forward to it, but looking forward to it in, like, a way where it's like, I can't even look forward to it. Like, I just don't...
don't know what it's going to be. Yeah.
You know, like, I haven't left the country since 2008.
Yeah, wow.
I went to... cool. I was in America.
Yeah.
I just can't really comprehend what China's going to be like. I think every city we're going to is a bigger population than New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, classic. Like, I've been excited to go to Wellington before our trip. To do Great Sounds Great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll hang out there. Yeah. And then on top of that, we're going to another country for a month afterwards. And, like, my kind of... excitement can only comprehend the Wellington beforehand.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And I can imagine you guys will come out as best as you've ever sound as well from playing so much and playing in different environments and seeing how different audiences respond.
Yes,
and with a sort of genuineness of that cultural difference that stops you from kind of overthinking the things you might do playing to the same crowd and in Aotearoa. And I've only heard the awesomest things about the tours there and about the scenes there.
I can't wait. I'm so grateful that Kai Shandao just hit us up and organized, she booked all the tours and all the venues and hotels and travel and but like it's been so much work kind
of
sorting out
course.
All the logistics of going to quite a kind of locked down country.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of...
you have to say everywhere you're going and stuff beforehand, which does make it difficult for DIY artists who are booking on the
fly. You know, a country that I just don't understand.
Yeah,
you know what
totally.
I mean? Like, so, like, working out how to do merch and get tapes made and stuff and then just like, having it... yeah. You know, it's been a big process.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have so, so much work that I do every single day just for getting everything in a row for it.
Yeah.
I just can't wait till...
it's
over and with you, you know, like
you just get to go from venue to venue once eventually. You can see why that touring is just it takes it out on people and it's like so intense, and that's why obviously people get managers to do that stuff, and then those managers are always like crazy, you know, running around people who are like, you do this.
Yeah, I mean, because right now I'm kind of managed. Well, I just do
trying to manage
lots of stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to manage. I'm doing lots of stuff for two bands,
both
who rolled out albums and have done tours. This one's significantly bigger than the other one we did, but oh man.
Yeah, cool. No, that's really awesome. So just maybe the last little thing to talk about so we don't get it stuck here forever, but is that you're also playing at the Radio 1 and OUSA Market Day downstairs in like an hour and a bit. And that is with Phaedra as well from your other band, Pearly.
Yeah.
I think we've done a couple of interviews with Pearly, so I won't rattle on about Pearly too much. We absolutely love some of the recent Pearly tunes, and it's really cool to see you guys doing awesome as well on the Aotearoa scene in like sort of an adjacent sphere, but you're also carving out your own different niches, which is really cool too.
It's great to have these two different things, right? Like, this is about not taking it too seriously with the Dale stuff. And then Pearly's, like, kind of really taking it seriously.
Which
I think, like, everyone, if you just have one project, you always wish you kind of did something differently.
Totally,
this one, you're doing both things differently.
Yeah, you always get offered something that you have to turn down.
Yeah.
And then you're like, if I just had a different thing,
I
could have done that.
Absolutely. I wish I went about this a different way.
Yeah.
Cool, let's release that album like that.
Yeah. And so what sort of stuff are you and Phaedra going to play, do you reckon? I mean, you haven't decided that, maybe.
No, I don't know yet, eh? Like, we were all sick last week, so we didn't have a practice.
True.
I think Phaedra's going to meet me at the uni soon. We're going to go somewhere and figure out what songs we're going to play.
Sweet. Well, you know, you can't get much more hype than that. Listeners, if you tuned in, come check out Pearly, or half of Pearly, or the singers from Pearly with acoustics, maybe playing some of their own special goodies, which is yet to be determined.
Yeah.
And that'll be at the Market Day.
If you got suggestions for tunes, call
Text
Radio
them.
1 or message us.
Yep. 0212 Radio 1. That's 0212723461. And yeah, we can give you a direct line to Joel and Fader from Pearly. The famous. sweet. Any last words you wanted to say about, honestly, either project or even to Odipoti or the people out there? Hopefully there's a bit of students out and about heading to the market to check out stuff and listening too, which would be cute.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to talk.
Yeah.
Love Radio 1. Love real life things.
Yeah.
And community things, eh? Like, yeah. Don't worry about the numbers, you know.
Yeah, cool. Sick. Well, thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure to have you on, Joel. We're going to roll into Taylor Bird, which you mentioned from the new Dale Kerrigan album, Heavy Greasy. Absolutely check it out. We're hooning it on Bandcamp. Gorgeous art. Did you do the art for this?
Shlee did the monsters. Mm-hmm. I did the design.
Cool.
It's kind of like, you know, this album sounds like a collection of little monsters.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, cool. It's and it's an absolute ripper of an album. So chuck some cans on and like hoon it sometime. What do you reckon the best context is for a completely average / random listener to listen to the album? In a car, on a swing late at night, at breakfast time, when they're really angry.
Oh, I don't know. When you feel like listening to something.
Sweet, all right. That was Joel from Dale Kerrigan. This is Taylor Bird from Heavy Greasy. You're tuned into Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi here on the late breakfast, thanks to Adju. Ko Whitaku Ingoa taking you through the day. We've had some gorgeous interviews and our top 11. And we just had Joel in from Dale Kerrigan and Pearly. Stay tuned for more cool stuff, or we'll catch you at the market day. Sure.
Peace.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.